There we go. In the first chapter of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. The wise man says, well, of course, it identifies that as the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. I noticed this morning that our daily scripture reading was from Proverbs 5, and he makes some of the same comments about wisdom and understanding there that are contained in our reading. But we all grew up and matured in a society where the rise of feminism demoted fatherhood. In an attempt to prove the worth of a woman, many felt they needed to prove that men were worthless. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe some men are worthless, but not in the sense we're talking about here. But we can see the impact. We can see what kind of impact this has had on our society. How many television shows portray a well-meaning but bungling father who the mom and kids have to steer him away from dangers? How many women don't bother to get married, just have children? How many? But you know, the Bible, unlike today's society, sees men and women as being essentially equal while fulfilling separate roles. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, Paul said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ. There's no distinction in Christ. But one of the roles of the father is in providing instruction to his children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In other words, husbands and fathers are supposed to be the source of wisdom in the family. Thinking about that, that's quite a tall order, really. That's quite a tall order. But the question, and rightfully so, the question to ask is, what is wisdom? One thing we note is that all Christians need wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 15, reading down through verse 17, Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. What are you to be then? Wise. We have to understand what the will of the Lord is. We realize that our time is limited, and we live in a dangerous world in many respects. And we need wisdom to make the best use of our time here on earth. That wisdom is found within the will of God. In fact, Paul told Timothy that God's word is able to equip us. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thus we understand that wisdom comes from God. Along with, and this is an important point in Proverbs, along with knowledge and understanding. Look with me, if you will, please, at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2, beginning with verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. Look down Proverbs 24 to turn over there quickly. Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 3. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Did you see that? Wisdom, a house is built. Understanding, it's established. And knowledge fills the rooms. Knowledge fills the rooms. Knowledge really is the comprehension of facts. It fills our mind. And if it is the knowledge of things that come from God, it fills our mind with pleasant and useful things. Understanding, however, is the reasoning of relationships. That is, logic becomes the foundation upon which we stand. Logic is not the invention of man. We see throughout God's word, he uses logic. And he shows us that logic can be sound or unsound. It can be either logical or illogical. Yeah, close enough. Anyway, but anyway, it can be logical or not. So we have the fact that logic becomes a foundation upon which we stand. Now, what about wisdom? Well, wisdom is the application of our learning. Wisdom is how we put it all together. Brother Haley, and with all of his shortcomings, had some very wise things to say, and I'm sad to say that he didn't maintain his faithfulness to the end, but neither did Solomon. But he said, and I have found this quote here. He says, wisdom is insight into the underlying causes and significance or consequence of things, which insight enables one to apply to the best end the knowledge which he has. I don't know how you could put it any better. Knowledge tells you what is happening. Understanding allows you to predict what might result and what are your options. But wisdom guides you to select the best response. Wisdom is the thing that guides you to select the right or the best response in the, in whatever case you're dealing with. Where do we get wisdom? Well, most people, I say most, gain some wisdom through experience. Simply by taking things they learn, the knowledge that they've accumulated through a great deal of experience, and then they put it into application and they gain wisdom. They, and I know you know what I'm talking about. They try one thing and then they try another. Some of it works and some of it fails, but they make note of it and they try again the next time to hopefully obtain better results. Of course, all this is time consuming, no doubt about it. But this is why we associate wisdom with older people. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. Just because you have gray hair or lack thereof and your skin starts to look like crepe paper doesn't mean you have wisdom. It's not a natural thing. But listen to the wise man of old in Proverbs 20 and verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. What does this imply? Well, you gain some experience. You've been over the road, so to speak. You may have had a few flat tires, and you may have developed car trouble on the way, but you have been over the road. You've been over the road. But it is hit and miss. We don't experience everything as we live, and very often we get caught off guard whenever we face something new. And, of course, sorry to say, not everyone survives their mistakes either. But the wise man says you can learn wisdom from wise men. In Proverbs, the 13th chapter, down at verse 20, listen to Solomon. He who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Instead of making mistakes personally, we can learn from the mistakes of others. And we can avoid wasting years of repeating what others already knew. I found it to be a wonderful experience to sit and to talk with older men because they had been over the road. I think Brother Harold Houchin, who was an elder in the church in Ontario at the time, was a good example of this, and my grandfather too. I can name off a bunch of them, but I remember specifically Harold, because Harold told me, he says, you know, Galen, he says, some people think when you get old, you don't have to worry about sin anymore. Don't have to worry about it anymore. And I'll have to tell you that I was kind of thinking that. He says, but I want to tell you, he says, it's a problem. No matter how old you are, one thing or another, it's a problem. So don't think you're ever going to outgrow it. Well, I've kept that in mind, and I haven't outgrown it. But if you learn wisdom from talking with wise people, Proverbs is the writing of Solomon. Oh, let's see. Let's go back, first of all, to James. Oh, yeah. Let's look at this. It's best to listen so you can be wise when you get older. That's a good one. Let's look at Proverbs again, 19:20. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. How do you get wisdom? You listen to older men. You don't have to face the consequences of making mistakes through your life. But here is a responsibility that a father owes to his children, to pass his accumulated wisdom down to his children. But what really comes down to is, if you want wisdom, you need to ask God. Yeah, that's what it says. And I believe it, don't you? Look at James chapter 1, down to verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Simple as that. Now, of course, we don't expect to gain wisdom overnight. We don't expect that it will just suddenly, I'm wise now, like Solomon was. But we understand that when we ask God and then we put forth the effort, our efforts will be blessed. Our efforts will be blessed. But I'm going to get back to where my head was ahead of me here. The book of Proverbs is the writing of Solomon to pass on to succeeding generations. Think of that. Proverbs, look at Proverbs 1, 1 through 3. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom, instruction, perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That's what he's passing on. And look at first chapter now, verse 4. It is able to give prudence to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Children and some adults are somewhat uncomplicated in their thoughts. They act on impulse, kind of like Peter did, with little consideration for the consequences. But prudence is the opposite of rashness. Prudence is the opposite of rashness. And wisdom gives prudence. Also, wisdom is able to give knowledge and discretion to the young, even without a long life. The book of Proverbs can supply a host of facts, and it gives plans for what to do in various situations. How often have you been reading in the book of Proverbs and said, I wish I would have looked at this last week? Because it just deals with something that you had to take care of. The book of Proverbs is filled with things like this. But the interesting thing is, a wise man can benefit by increasing what he knows. You don't just get to a point and you say, okay, I'm a wise man now, I don't have to learn anymore. No, You can learn more. You can learn more. And Proverbs 1, 3 through 6, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to give to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear, listen, and increase in learning. He will hear and increase, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. The counsel to do what? To understand a proverb, to understand an enigma, and to understand the words of the wise and their riddles. None of us know everything. None of us. Or none of us have experienced everything. I think that has become self-evident in the situation we're in. Whoever thought? But even a wise man benefits when he learns of better choices. Better choices. A man of understanding, a smart man, can put two and two together and can benefit from it. From the wise, advice is stored in the book of Proverbs for us. We can understand subtle statements and puzzles in life. Why? Because Proverbs is divinely inspired writing of God, given through the hands of the wisest man on earth and expressed in short sentences. Very interesting. But another thing we want to consider, even though it's offered, wisdom is offered, it's not always accepted. Not always accepted. Because notice Proverbs 1:7 says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why? Because they don't see the value in it. Why? Because they want to remain ignorant. They don't want anybody to confuse them with the facts. And partially because they have condemned themselves to making a lot of mistakes. But you know what? Children have the opportunity to learn from their parents. Children have the opportunity. Look at Proverbs 1 again and look at verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Did you see that? The instruction of your father and obeying the law of your mother will be like graceful ornaments and adorn your head and chains that are put about your neck. They will make you a better person. They will make you a better person. And we talked a little bit about this before, but we understand that these things are passed down from generation to generation. In Proverbs 4, I'm going to do a little bit lengthy reading here, but turn over to Proverbs 4. And let's start with verse 1. Proverbs 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was a father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place you on your head, an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now, of course, he's personifying wisdom here. You understand that. But isn't that, that's powerful. That is powerful. But not only that, we learn that wisdom is our protection. Going now to the sixth chapter of Proverbs, the sixth chapter in verse 20. Yeah, sixth and verse 20. My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And that, you see why I read the whole thing. Yeah. Now, let's just bring the lesson home. Are you listening to your father? Now, I want to take this in two aspects. Your physical father and your eternal father. Have you learned the lessons of life that your father has taught you? I don't know. I'm sure that all of you could do this. But there are times that I launch out on a project, or I think about doing something, or actually am working on lessons sometimes, and suddenly I can hear my father's words. And he's been gone a long time. But the words ring out in my ears, and I remember what he taught me. We all need to do that when it comes to God. Remember what he taught you. Listen to his word. Now, if you are a father, are you prepared to pass these words of wisdom down to your children? You know, our fathers did the best they could, but they made mistakes. And I don't know a father who would not admit that he made mistakes. In Hebrews 12 and verse 9, Paul there says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits? Think about that. We don't have to worry about our Heavenly Father making mistakes. And He passes down wisdom to us that we can live by. That we can live by. We, in fact, can learn from him and pass it on to our children. And indeed we should. Fathers are necessary. They are an important part of the home. And you're saying, oh, I bet he chose that lesson because this is Father's Day. I think it is. Isn't it Father's Day? But I had that on my mind when I was thinking about this lesson. And I put this lesson together with that in mind. I hope the lesson has been beneficial to you, has brought you to some understanding of maybe some things you didn't understand before. It will help you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bring glory and honor to him and to his precious name. Think carefully about it.